This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and as you're probably getting used to by now, by telephone is our co-host, Bridget Eyre.
Yeah, great to be with you. And Jim sent me a microphone stand and a new mic, so we're trying out new equipment at home all the time.
we're just trying to make it sound as normal as we can. And I watch one of the TV news in the morning, and it drives me crazy. I should really call the station. The weatherman, maybe you'll know what channel I'm talking about, is doing the weather from home, and he looks at the camera, but then all of a sudden, all of his other wet data is on a different screen over off to the side, and so you're looking at his cheek during most of it, because he's looking off camera to, he's seeing the map that you're seeing, but way off camera off to one side or the other, so all you're seeing is his cheek and his ear. But anyhow, that's part of the coronavirus pandemic. We've all had to make little adjustments, and I guess if that's all the adjustment we're making, I'm flexible. I could live with that.
We are. Well, hey, we've got a great show lined up for you today, and, you know, even though this corona pandemic is going on, you know, the church is still moving and acting, and we're really still celebrating the Easter season, you know, as we're leading up to Pentecost.
Okay, go ahead.
And I always think about this season as a season to disciple, and today we're going to be talking with our guests who really are in the discipleship business. Our guests are Ken O'Gorg and Jim Wood from the Office of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So welcome to Faith in Action, guys.
Good to be with you, Jim and Bridget.
Yes, good morning.
And our topic is not exactly 100% discipleship, but it's really how the Archdiocese of Indianapolis is assessing the discipleship efforts that you guys are conducting. So let's talk about, maybe Ken, why don't we start with you? Measuring discipleship is really an interesting concept, and it's a concept I've not really ever thought about in, I guess, real metric terms. Can you tell us what the program is that you use and maybe how it came about?
Sure, Bridget. And, you know, there's an old saying that what can't be measured can't be improved. And we often talk about the need to grow in discipleship. You know, we want to grow in our disciple relationship with Jesus. So given that we're the Office of Catechesis, we're involved in helping to see to it that the faith is taught. And really, anytime you're engaged in education of any sort, there's always an assessment piece, right? You want to know, are we getting through to folks? Are people learning and growing in their knowledge of the faith and in the way they apply it to their life? So really, it's about assessment. So we use a national standardized assessment resource for the Catholic faith. It's called ACRE. You know, there's lots of acronyms in the church. So ACRE, actually, it stands for a couple different things, but you might think of it as Assessment of Catechesis and Religious Education. Yeah, basically once a year, we ask every 5th, 8th, and 11th grader in all of our Catholic schools and all of our parish catechetical and youth ministry programs to take this survey. We do it in January. It's a good time of year to do it. And then it gives us some information that we can then use to help enhance and improve our efforts from one year to the next.
Is this kind of like an SAT test where you get a score and you find out how holy you are?
that's a good question, Jim, because every now and then I'll have someone say, well, you know, you can't measure a person's faith. And it's certainly true that we can't measure faith per se, but we can certainly try and get a sense of what our knowledge of the faith is and really what some of our practices of the faith are. So we get individual information on knowledge of the faith, and then we get group information on some of the people who take the survey, what are their attitudes, practices, and perceptions regarding the faith. We get group data, like, say, all the fifth graders at such and such parish or school or what have you.
So could each of you we're talking with Ken O'Gorick and Jim Wood from the Office of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And could each of you tell us a little bit about your background and maybe your parish and the role that you do at the diocese, maybe talk a little bit about your work? Let's start with you, Jim.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'd be glad to tell you a little bit about myself. I am married to Andrea. We've been married for over 30 years, and we go to St. Simon the Apostle Parish on the north side of Indianapolis. We have one daughter, Sarah, and Sarah is graduating from Marion University this Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Doing a they're actually doing a virtual graduation. So she's a little bummed about that, but super excited to finish her college career there. Excuse me. Bridget and Jim, I just started recently with the Archdiocese back in June in the Office of Catechesis with Ken. But prior to that, I've been a school teacher with the Archdiocese for several years. And prior to that, I was in the insurance and employee benefits business for many years. So that's a little bit about my background. I don't know what else I should tell you.
And then you're responsible for kind of, you're the coordinator, or you coordinate the catechetical resources. So having that teacher background is probably really helpful in kind of looking at all those resources that are out there to forward the faith. Is that kind of what you do?
Yes. Part of my job is to get a good understanding of what our publishers around the country are putting out as far as religious education for our schools and our parishes. Because there are so many publishers out there and so many different packages that they can bring to dioceses around the country, it's a pretty big role for somebody to just try to stay on top of things and make sure things are as they should be and they're in line with Catholic teaching and the Catholic Church. So that's why Ken hired me. I hope and pray I'm doing a good job. I really enjoy what I'm doing, so I'm glad to be here.
Jim, does that make you, do you actually make the decisions? I mean, do you read through these courses from different publishers, and then do you say, this is the one we need, or how is that decision made?
Well, in a loose sense, I might do that. Part of my job is to recommend certain resources to schools and parishes if questions come up. But you may or may not know that the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, they have what is called a conformity list. And it is a list of... I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, and the bishops have a conformity list of resources from publishers, and the bishops actually can decide which particular resource from a publisher meets everything that they want us to be teaching in schools and parishes. So we refer to that quite often when people want to know what is a good resource. But really, Jim, the parishes and the schools themselves, they have a pretty good handle in making a decision of what resources to use for their particular school or parish. I hope that answers the question.
Sure. Are there some things that you, you said you have a list of things that you look for in those courses based on the Council of Catholic Bishops. Are there things you avoid too, or are there things when you get so far in the class and say, I don't know, I don't think this is the one. Are there things you look to avoid?
Well, in a sense, yes. We take a lot of the publishers all put out, you know, these basal texts. And what we look for and what I'm looking for, do they answer all of our questions with regard to the archdiocese religion standards. For example, if a fourth grade Basel text, are they answering all the questions regarding the fourth grade standards that are written for the archdiocese? Now, 95% of all those Basel texts cover everything that we require our kids to be learning, for example, again, in fourth grade. So there might be some things that we might question or second guess, but perhaps Ken might be able to, you know, go a little bit further in that.
Yeah, Ken, why don't you talk? Yeah, go ahead. Talk too about what your role is. I know you're the director there. Is that correct, of the Office of Catechesis?
Sure, Bridget, and I'll be super brief. I've had many memorable appearances on Faith in Action, so I don't need to go in great detail. But, yeah, I've been blessed to spend most of my adult life in the areas of catechesis and evangelization, both at parish and school levels, but also at the diocesan level. So, my role in the Office of Catechesis, which also houses our evangelization effort, we are really there to serve our parish catechetical leaders, as well as our parish evangelization team members. Similar to the Diocese of Lafayette and all the other dioceses that people are listening to, you know, online or what have you. I often say the reason that people like us have jobs is to help ministry in parishes occur more effectively by God's grace, because that's where the rubber hits the road for most Catholics. It's all about parish life. And so, my family belongs to St. Pius on the northeast side of Indianapolis, and we're plugged into St. Pius as well as Bishop Chatard High School in a number of different ways in terms of volunteering and helping out. And by way of what Jim was just discussing, yes, we like to give people choices when we can give them choices. But we want to make sure that they're choosing from among a list of solid, authentically Catholic resources. So we kind of narrow the field a little bit, and then we encourage our parishes and schools just to choose what resource is the best fit for them, based on their unique identity as a faith community. And certainly, as Jim said, you know, our curriculum standards, if you will, are a good lens that people often use to determine how effective a resource is going to be in doing what is asked of them. And that really brings us full circle to this topic of assessment and the ACRE instrument, because we try to connect the dots between the ACRE reports and these various areas of the faith that our curriculum standards try to address and cover.
Well, we need to take a break right now. Stay close. I want to delve into this a little bit more on how we are helping our teachers and parents and parishes assess discipleship and how we can improve in those areas. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
The encouragement you need because you need it. The hope we offer because God shared it. A together walk because we all need the company. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley is in the studio. I'm recording from home, and our guests are also recording from their home offices. We've got Ken O'Bork and Jim Wood from the Office of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I just want to give you a little tease here. There is an event coming up, Gathering of Disciples, that's going to be held on September 12th. And stay tuned to the end of the program. We'll give you some more details about that. But we're talking about assessment of religious education, Catholic religious education, and basically catechesis. I'll throw this out to you, either Jim or Ken. How does this program support parent, teachers, and church catechists?
I'd be glad to answer that. This is Jim Wood here. As Ken mentioned briefly in the first segment, the ACRE assessment is simply designed to assist in the evaluation of our catechetical and religious education programs within our Catholic schools and parishes. And as Ken said, it's used in our 5th grade, 8th grade, and 11th grades. And we do it once a year, usually around the month of January. We've seen to feel that's a good time for our teachers and schools and catechists to get the assessment done. The ACRE assessment is really broken up into two parts. You might even say really three parts, but the two main parts. The first part is an assessment of religious and faith knowledge. You know, how well do our kids understand the Catholic faith? For example, do they know what the Immaculate Conception is? For example, do they know the seven sacraments, things like that? And so that first part, it tests from the six domains of catechesis from the General Directory of Catechesis. And those are knowledge of faith, liturgical life, moral formation, prayer, communal life, and missionary spirit. So there's a whole section, that first section, talking about the knowledge of faith and religious beliefs. The second part of the ACRE assessment is more designed to find out how our students respond to certain types of affective statements. That would be like their personal beliefs, their attitudes, their practices, their perceptions. An example might be a question might be given to an 11th grader, how often are you going to confession? Do you attend Sunday Mass every weekend? Something like that. And so these statements about beliefs and attitudes and practices and lists of behaviors gives us an indication of how our young people are dealing with the church today. You know, how do they feel about the church? And we can get an assessment of they may be feeling poorly about certain practices in the church, and how can we, in our office of catechesis, and how can our parishes and schools kind of direct that, kind of get that as an area of topic for our students to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a quick synopsis
Now, Jim, is there any kind of a pass-fail to this, or is it just kind of a continuum of, and do some schools rate higher than other schools? How does that work?
I can pick up on that one, Jim.
Okay.
So the scores that we give our parishes and our schools, they aren't letter grade scores. They're more in terms of percentages of desired or accurate answers. And what we do is, mm-hmm. because it's a national standardized instrument, we're able to give people not only national averages, but also archdiocesan averages. So mm-hmm. a parish catechetical leader, for example, could sort of see how her eighth graders are doing in a lot of these areas compared to the archdiocese, as well as national averages. So it's not necessarily pass fail or letter grade. Again, it's really meant to affirm those areas that are going well, so as not to take mm-hmm. them for granted, but also to identify areas where some additional effort might be needed, sure. whether it's in the classroom teaching doctrine or maybe in retreat and renewal experiences. You know, there are some great insights that can come from these reports that help us minister to the whole person.
Now, a question just popped into my mind as you were speaking, and I'm not sure why. Is this all for English-speaking students? There's a lot of Spanish-speaking students in the archdiocese as well. Is there an evaluation there as well?
I can speak briefly about that. This is Jim Wood again. The assessment is given in English in our archdiocese. As far as we know, the assessment is not available in Spanish or a different language. And honestly, Jim, I haven't had much inquiry about that. Right now, the ACRE assessment is about the only type of national assessment out there. We know of some other people who are trying to work on different and a new type of religious education assessment. But right now, as far as ACRE goes, it's just done in English.
And just a quick update, to make a long story short, the group that puts out ACRE, it's called the National Catholic Educational Association, they've worked with various third parties over the years to help process the survey and produce the reports. ACRE was available in Spanish at one time, but recently, because of a switch to a different third-party provider, that hasn't been available. But my understanding is that very soon, perhaps possibly this coming academic or program year, if you will, it will be available in Spanish. And as Jim said, there's at least one other organization right now that is also working on a national standardized assessment for religion. So it'll be good. It's good to have options, right?
No doubt. We only have about four minutes left, but we got a lot of ground to cover here. So let's just skip ahead to this event that you have so we don't
Great.
Run out of time with that. Tell us what it is, when it is, and who can participate.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. This is Ken. And again, it flows very well from our assessment discussion. So one of the keys to effective catechesis and disciple-making is catechists who are well-formed, who are knowledgeable about the faith and effective at teaching and witnessing. So formation is really important in the life of anyone in ministry. So the Gathering of Disciples is a big day of formation that our secretariat, if you will, the department of the Archdiocese that we're under, offers every year. And information is available. I'll repeat this later, but if you just go to archindy.org/catechesis, you can get information on the Gathering of Disciples. And folks from the Lafayette Diocese and surrounding dioceses are welcome. This is not exclusive to the Archdiocese, but it's an opportunity for catechists, for parish evangelization leaders, for RCIA ministers, just to be formed in their knowledge and their ability to share the faith. I could go on and on. We're excited. We have Tim Staples as our keynote speaker this year.
Yeah.
We've got folks from an effort called the Magis Center coming to do workshops in English as well as Spanish about the compatibility of science and religion, faith and reason. Mm-hmm. This is so important for young people especially to understand. We've got an expert from Franciscan University of Steubenville who's going to do a real thorough RCIA workshop for folks. And there's even a retreat track this year. Folks can come and experience the keynote as well as the capstone session, which is adoration and music by the Hussey Brothers. But in between, instead of going to workshops, they will attend retreat sessions so that the day is more like a retreat for them. It's awesome, and people can get info at archunity.org/catechesis.
Well, that's great information. Now, you both have a long career in teaching and communicating the faith to others. We only have about 2 minutes left. What have you learned? What works? Shortly. Briefly.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, what works? Just being authentic in our Catholic faith. For Ken and I and people in our office, we are authentic and truthful with our faith all the way down to our bones. And I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing unless I truly believed what I'm doing is truthful and right. And God willing, in 2.5 years, hopefully I'll be ordained a deacon within the Archdiocese, and maybe that will help me blossom more into my role in the office of catechesis.
Well, that's awesome. And Ken?
Yeah, I would just reiterate super briefly, we need to teach, but we also need to witness to the power and beauty of our faith, and also always help people see that the context for this is a personal disciple relationship with Jesus, right? We're not just learning interesting but odd facts about God. When we study the teaching of the church, we often literally hear Christ speaking in a direct, personal way to us, and it's about a relationship, and I'll just leave it at that.
Absolutely.
And then in terms of resources, right? You got some resources?
Yeah, I would say the best place to look for those is just go to archunity.org/catechesis. We've got all sorts of resources there, including information about the Day of Formation, the Gathering of Disciples on September 12th.
Yeah, and that's really great. You can get that on our podcast of the show, archindy.org/catechesis. We'll have that link available on the podcast. So, well, we certainly learned a lot. Ken O'Gorick and Jim Wood, thank you so much for being our guests from the Office of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. God bless
you
in your efforts.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.